Scripture reading for this evening comes from Ephesians chapter 5, verses 14 through 17. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 14 through 17. Therefore he says, "Awake, you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. See, when you walk in circumspectly, not as fools but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Therefore do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is."
Good to be back together again tonight. It's good to see everyone here. We've had a good Sunday as far as attendance and visitors and things of that nature, and that always is a very encouraging thing. I'd like to mention again our thanks to the congregation here for your remembrances during the illness and then ultimately the passing of Cindy's mother, Kathleen Albright. We went to Tennessee and gathered her up 15 years ago and brought her to live in a house that was next to ours down in Vincent. She's been really a part of our extended family for the last 15 years. So we talk about life being a journey. Well, she certainly did have one. We moved her a couple of times. But it was always a blessing for us to have her as part of our family. And you remembered us by sending flowers to the funeral. You remembered us by prayers and cards that you sent. And we always knew that you were thinking of us. And every time we walked through the doors, we were reminded of that, that you were praying for us and you were thinking about us. And that means a lot, because not only was she a part of our family, you're a part of our family as well. And so it is such a blessing to have a spiritual family in Christ. And then today, I don't know who all knew that you participated in this, but there was a little monetary gift. Well, not really a little monetary gift. There was a monetary gift that will certainly be helpful to us. And the note on it was so that we might be able to get away together. Well, I don't know about that. I've missed so many Sundays. Now you may not let me get away. But it certainly is appreciated. And it may be regarded as a particular blessing to Cindy because she has been on quite a journey. But she was able to take care of her mother to the end. She was a primary caretaker for her mother, really for the last year and a half. She was with her every day, helping to take care of her, and that certainly is a blessing. It's a blessing to be able to take care of one who took care of you. Paul talks about, and this is one way that we repay our parents. And certainly Cindy went above and beyond the expectations of anyone, especially Kathleen. But she was there for her as long as she could be. I want to turn over to Ephesians chapter 5 to the verses that were read for us. You know, when I was in college, I spent summers working on the highway crew, Richland County, Ohio, the city of Ontario, if you're not familiar with where that is. It's up by Mansfield. And so in the summers, I worked on the highway. I worked for the highway department. And so there was a group of four or five of us college boys. We were summer help, and then in addition to the full-time workers. We were there to do manual labor, and we weren't really all that familiar with manual labor, didn't know much about it. It probably was a very good experience for us. One thing that I said about that job was I was more determined at the end of the summer to go back and finish college than I had ever had been before. But every day we would clock in at 7 o'clock in the morning. At an hour that is unknown to a lot of college students. But our supervisor would come to give us our work assignment at about 7:30, sometimes even about a quarter till 8. And until he would come in with our work assignment for the day, we were like the foolish virgins that Jesus speaks of in Matthew, the 25th chapter. We slumbered and slept. And he would come in, our supervisor, our boss, and he was just a little bandy rooster of a fellow. But when he came in the room and he had work for you to do, he expected you to do it. And I remember he would say the same thing every day. He would say, "Wake up, boys, time's a-wastin'. There is work to be done." Well, that's essentially the same thing, at least a rough translation of what Paul is telling us in our text this morning, or this evening. He said, "Wake up, Christians. Times are wasting. There is work to be done." Then he talks about, look at the things that he talks about in these verses. He talks about the fact that we don't belong to the world anymore. We are now children of the light. There's evil to fight. There's good to do. We need to look around. We need to take advantage of every opportunity. We need to make the most of our time. We need to know what God's will is and do it. I think that all of us can understand, can stand a good wake-up call once in a while. There's probably nothing else in this world that is more valuable, that we value less and make less use of, than our time. Our lives pass by with deceptive swiftness. When we're young, the days seem long, the weeks and the months seem to stand still, but once we get older and our life becomes a lot more complex, then time seems to fly by. The days become weeks, the weeks become months. It seems like the years only just begun when they come to an end. Soon, whole seasons of our life have come and gone. James said in James chapter 4 and verse 14, "For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away." And so whatever you may dream of, whatever you may hope to do for others, whatever preparations we need to make to stand before God in judgment, we had better do it now, or the opportunity will be gone forever. The only way that we can fulfill the potential that God places into every life is by wisely investing our time, redeeming the time, making the most of every moment. I've read where there is a sundial in Harvard Yard, with the inscription, "Upon this minute hangeth eternity." That's quite a statement, isn't it? Certainly an entire lifetime can be measured by the way that we have chosen to spend each cumulative day. And so Paul's wake up was this: see that you walk circumspectly. In other words, be aware of what is going on around you. See that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. So why is the way that we spend our time so important? Well, because like every other valuable commodity, time is of limited supply. Now, when we're young, it seems like we have an inexhaustible supply, but in reality, the days of our life are numbered. In the 90th Psalm, which was written nearly 3,000 years ago, David wrote, "The days of our lives are 70 years, or if by reason of strength they be 80. Through the years, there have been fluctuations in those numbers. There were times years ago where the life expectancy of a man was somewhere in the 40s. But during the years when this number has fluctuated, it has remained amazingly consistent. It is still pretty much true that the average lifespan is 70 years. Or if somebody has a constitution, if somebody is strong, they may live to be 80 years, and they may live longer than that. My mother-in-law was 95, and so she certainly had a strong constitution. She certainly was blessed with a long life. But however long our life may be, and only God knows how long our life will be, The truth is that today you are closer and I am closer to the end of our life than we have ever been before. I once saw an unusual demonstration of this. It was called a life clock. The times of the life clock went something like this. If you're 10 years old, according to the life clock, it's 3:30 in the morning, 3:30 a.m. If you're 18, it's 7:20 a.m. If you're 25, it's 9:15 in the morning. Things begin to change when you hit your 40s. If you're 40, it's 2 o'clock in the afternoon. If you're 55, it's equivalent of being 7:30 in the evening. If you're 65, it's the equivalent of 10:45 in the evening. That's pretty vivid to be a visible reminder of the fact that our life is passing away. Now, this is not intended to be morbid or depressing in any way. It's simply reality. I think God blesses us by making us eternally optimistic. It causes us to think that we have many years left. Sort of like the rich farmer, take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry. For I have much goods laid up for many years, he thought. But he was reminded that this day, he was told, your soul will be required of you. And so whatever it is in our life that we focus upon, whatever we seek to accomplish in this world, we need to keep in mind that life is a gift that God gives us. It is a blessing. We don't know what will be on tomorrow. For our life is even as a vapor that appears for a moment and then vanishes away. So we have to be aware of the fact, if we're going to use in a wise way, we're going to use the years that God has given us, then we have to be mindful of the fact that is in God's hands. You remember how old 40 seemed when you were 18? Now, if you're 35, 40 seems a whole lot younger, doesn't it? Because age is relative, and we look at life through our limited understanding of the years that we have. The truth is that our time is limited and is passing by swiftly. So in that 90th Psalm, Psalm 90 and verse 20, the conclusion of the writer was, so teach us to number our days, so we may apply our hearts to wisdom. There's a purpose for life. And there is a reason for us to keep the fact that life is, that the time that we have in this world is limited, and that is so that we will use every day that the Lord blesses us with, and we will apply our hearts to wisdom. Secondly, time is important because it is the measure of life itself. Benjamin Franklin, I believe it was, who said, "Dost thou love life, then do not squander time, because that is the stuff that life is made of." It amazes me how many people just while away the hours. We use expressions like killing time or wasting time, whiling away the hours, putting in our time, when certainly the time that we have is so valuable that we need to apply ourselves to wisdom. But the one thing that cannot be stored up, time is one thing that cannot be stored up or saved. Solomon said that life is like water that is spilled on the ground, which cannot be gathered again. Once time is gone, it is gone forever. So time cannot be stored up or saved. We will either use it or let it slip through our fingers. In either case, when it is gone, it is gone. That is why Paul said that we are to redeem the time. To redeem the time. The word redeem means to purchase or to buy back. And so in reality, the things that we use our time for, those are the things that we are exchanging for our time. Those are the things that we are exchanging for life itself. So think about how you spend your time. Is what you do with your time worth exchanging your life for? Because that is exactly what we are doing. Now, as a Christian, we must realize that our time, like everything else that we possess, belongs to God. We may be very aware of the material blessings that God has given us, and we realize that we are stewards of those material things, but it is also God who has given us time on this earth, and we are also stewards of it. The old saying goes, time is money, but actually, time is worth much more than money. Which would be of greater impact of you, knowing that you were worth $1 million or understanding that you had but 1 month left to live? I think all of us would realize that time is of greater worth than money. Which of the works that God wants us to do in His kingdom do not require time? Now, we can give money to carry out the Lord's work, and certainly God expects us to do that. But all the money in the world cannot take the place of giving of our time, because giving of our time is in reality a giving of ourselves. Think of any of the things that God expects us to do in serving Him that do not require time. It requires time to sit at the bedside of someone who is sick. It takes time to cheer someone up who is elderly or alone. It takes time to take your kids to the park, or it takes time to teach someone who is lost how to be saved, or to go to a wayward brother and encourage him to return to the Lord. All of these things require not only a commitment to the Lord, but they also require time. So how have we been using God's time? And it really is God's time. Well, since our time is so valuable, since it is given to us by God, and ultimately it is to God that we must give an account, it behooves us to take a closer look at how our time is being spent. We talk about spending and getting our money's worth, purchasing things and getting our money's worth. When we spend our time, are we getting our time's worth? Ecclesiastes 8 and verse 5, Solomon said, "A wise man's heart discerneth both time and judgment." And so God wants us to be aware of life. And really, if we are aware of life, if we are walking circumspectly, as Paul says, if we are aware of the things that are going on, the life that is going on around us, then we are going to be conscious of the things that need to be done. We're going to be conscious of using our time to do those things. Think of all the ways that most of us are guilty of wasting time. Television used to be the big time stealer. I remember reading some years ago that in an average household, the television is on 30 hours a week. But television has certainly fallen out of place out of popularity as far as people who sit and watch television every evening and spend their time in that way. But there are many other things that have taken their place. And there are a lot of things that our technology has now added different challenges to us. There are a lot of ways that people get caught up, and it can certainly be addictive. And they only need that little computer phone that we carry around with us everywhere. I think it is something that is certainly eye-opening. That even there are those that are seeking to eliminate the potential of things on the internet to become addictive. And I don't know what all the arguments are, because I really haven't kept up with that much. But if I say this, I know more about this than I do. If I just say the words TikTok, you know what I'm talking about, right? Not only, there's some older guys trying to say, I don't know what you're talking about. But we know about it if we have young people in our family. And TikTok, these little films and things that are on there, are becoming so addictive that they're actually trying to limit the amount of time that somebody can be on TikTok, because there were young people that they weren't functioning because they were spending all their time looking at these little videos on their phones. And so Satan is always, and a lot of those things, I'm sure, are not things that are edifying. They're not things that encourage people to have a spiritual mindset or encourage people to get close to God. In fact, I imagine that most of them are not. And yet it is recognized that so many people were becoming addicted to this, that's all they would do. They would watch those videos all day long. And so there's always going to be a challenge to make a wise use of our time. We spend a lot of time with things that don't really serve a lot of purpose. We like to be entertained, and so we will look for things to entertain us. I've talked to some older people through having discussions at Willowbrook and different things, and I've asked the elderly. And I'm real cautious about calling anybody the elderly anymore, because I resemble that too much. But, you know, I've asked them, how is life different from you when you were growing up to the way life is now for your grandchildren, for example? What did you do before you had television? And a lot of the people that I talk to remember a time when they didn't have a television. And so I've asked people, well, you know, what did you do? Well, I've had people tell me that they did not depend on other people to entertain them, but rather they entertained themselves. They read. They learned to make things. They played instruments. They attended school functions and church functions, and they neighbored. So many just remain isolated in front of the computer or in front of the television. I can see a lot of benefit from playing sports, but what have we really gained from watching every game that comes along? Are we really better off? Is our life really happier if we know the batting averages of all the people on our favorite team? I'm certainly not saying that entertainment is wrong. It can be a good diversion in a life that is filled with weightier things, but sometimes we mistake diversions for life itself. There are other ways that we waste a lot of time that are more subjective. Maybe we don't think about these things as being a waste of time, but worry is a tremendous time waster. If you have ever spent a day worrying about or stewing about things that never come to pass, worrying is a waste of time. An alternative is that if there's a concern, and there's certainly nothing wrong with being concerned, if there is a concern, then we need to use the time that we have to do something about whatever it is that we are concerned about. And beyond that, as Christians, we've been told that we should just trust God, and we should pray, and we should leave things with Him instead of worrying about things. Some people waste a lot of time by trying to live in the past. Memories are a wonderful thing, but if we reach the point where we are looking back, and looking back means more to us than the present, then we're going to miss out on whatever new challenges and opportunities that God has blessed us with. If older people have a tendency to live in the past, younger people have a tendency to live for some future time. We think that life will be so much better when we're out of school, or that when we are old enough to get married or become financially secure, or when, as parents, we think that when our kids are grown, there's no stopping place. We can try to live in the future, but if we try to live in the future, then we are missing all of the opportunities that God has given us to live today. The truth is that that we all have the same amount of time. Each day has 24 hours. There are 168 hours in a week. 1,440 minutes has been put into our time account every day. How will that time be spent? Well, time is not well spent unless we take the time to attend to our spiritual well-being. Have you ever had a relationship that you neglected? Maybe a friend or a loved one that you didn't talk to for weeks on end, or a child that that you were not attentive to as you needed to be, or a mate that you took for granted. That relationship suffers. And certainly the same thing is true when it comes to our relationship with God. We need to take time every day for Bible study, meditation, and prayer. You may say, well, I just don't have the time. Well, you may not understand that the time we spend drawing nearer to God will give you the strength and the peace and the grace of God that will make it possible for you to do those things that you need to do. Our time is not well spent unless we attend to our health. It's foolish for us to think that we can work all of the time. I knew a preacher that pointed to his hectic schedule as the proof of his dedication. He had a bad heart attack at 48 and another one at 52. The truth of the matter was he neglected his health. And he looked at his neglect, neglecting his health the way he did, as proof that he was dedicated to his service of the Lord. Our bodies are a wonderfully made machine, but they can be abused. Our body does not belong to us. We need to care for it so it will last a lifetime. And so we need to give attention to our health. Our time is not well spent if it does not include time to serve the Lord. The Christian life is not just about your relationship to God. It's about being a servant in His kingdom. Even Jesus said, I must work the works of Him who sent me while it is day, for the night comes when no man can work. John 9 and verse 6. I guess a good way for us to evaluate our use of time is to write down, keep track of the ways that we are seeking to serve in the kingdom of God. Fourthly, our time is not well spent unless it includes time for family. One sure indicator of how quickly time passes is your kids, because our kids grow up and they move on so quickly. And the amount of time that we have actually to affect their upbringing, the time that we have to lead them to the Lord, and that's the most important thing, responsibility we have as Christian parents, is leading our children to the Lord. And yet there is such a limited time for us to be able to do that effectively. And that time will pass by quickly. Family time is a top priority. It is an urgent need. It is an opportunity that once passed is gone forever. Marriages can crumble one day at a time through indifference and neglect. And so we need to spend time every day with our family. Fifthly, our time is not well spent unless it includes time for our fellow man. With so many opportunities to do good in life, you can mean so much to so many, and really all it takes is a generous sharing of your time. We need to reach out to others. We need to be a friend, be a neighbor. Sixthly, our time is not well spent unless it includes opportunities for personal fulfillment and growth. Think of the potential that we have to learn and to grow, that we all have. And for the most part, we've never realized. We're tempted to say, the reason that I'm not applying myself to growth is because I don't have the time. What Goff has written, one always has enough time if he will apply himself. What have we always wished that we could do? The truth of the matter is, there are many things that we could do if we plan to do them, if we set our minds to these things. What if we just tap into some of our time resource? What if we would just dedicate an hour a day to something that that we believe that would be helpful for us to learn? I've known people who have learned foreign languages in that way. They just dedicated an hour a day. In fact, I have a friend who had Spanish in high school, but that was so long ago. He knew that he wasn't ready to begin doing mission work in South America, which he now goes and does every year. So he spent 2 years refreshing his understanding of Spanish, and now he speaks it fluently. And what an advantage that is to him in the mission field. And so, you know, what if we just applied the time that we do have? Certainly, we could apply our time to learning a skill, developing talents, becoming a student of the Bible. Wouldn't that be time well spent? Wouldn't that be time that has been redeemed or exchanged for something of value? Is it really possible for us to so discipline our lives that we're making good use of our time without undertaking so much that we just burn ourselves out? The greatest example we have of using time wisely was the example of Jesus. Jesus lived a beautiful, balanced life. Jesus had time to work. He had time to visit with friends. Jesus had time to comfort the sick and the bereaved, to attend a wedding celebration, to speak to multitudes and to individuals alone. Jesus made time to go to home and go to the home and eat with someone that he sought to teach, to stop and talk to those who were down and out in society. Jesus would take the time to take the little children into his lap, to go into the mountains and pray, to take his disciples away for a time of rest. Jesus was always busy, but he was never harried. How was he able to maintain such balance in his life? Well, Jesus knew who he was, and he knew what his purpose was in this life. He did not allow urgent demands to take the place of the things that are important. Someone has said that the main thing in life is keeping the main thing the main thing. And a lot of times we are so busy doing urgent things that we lose track of the things that are really important. And so our life is a balance of time. And so we need to redeem our time. We need to live our lives in such a way that we are busy doing our Father's business. I'd like to summarize in just 5 points how I can be more effective in the use of my time. Number one, give it to God. Do the things that He has taught us to do. The Bible teaches us about life the way that it's meant to be lived. Jesus said, "I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly." Jesus is showing us how to have a good life. And a good life is one where we are applying ourselves to doing His will. Secondly, prioritize. Put first things first. You can't do everything, so do that which is most important. A third way to make good use of our time is to organize. Time is like money. When it is budgeted, it will go much further. Well-arranged time is the result of a well-arranged mind. Fourthly, live today and use today. So many times we pass up the only day that we really can use to make a difference, and that's today. Jesus said, "Sufficient unto each day is its own trials." The psalmist wrote, "This is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it." Fifthly, if we want to make the best use of our time, we need to know where we want to go. A life without direction will be a life lived going around in circles. You go down one dead end and then the next. Without goals, how can we know whether we are making progress? If, like Jesus, our primary purpose is to do the Father's business, then everything else will fall into place. And so what will be the result? What is the reward for the faithful use of our time? Jesus said, be faithful unto death, and I will give unto you the crown of life. And so it is certainly a valuable thing. Time is such a precious thing, such a valuable thing. And it's a blessing that God gives us. It is in limited supply. But as Paul said, we need to redeem our time. We need to exchange it for things in this life that are of eternal significance, eternal value. Now, one thing I know about this sermon is that I've listened to myself as I preached it, and I've got work to do. I think we always can make better use of our time. And I think that if we really want to focus our life on living in such a way that pleases God, that we must be aware of how we are using the time that God has given us. We're going to sing an invitation hymn at this time, and if there's anyone that sees this need in your life, this is certainly something that we can do in our own hearts. We can examine our own lives, but it may be that there is someone in our assembly that has a need that you'd like to share with the body of Christ. And so if there's anyone that desires to respond to our Lord's invitation, we encourage you to come while together we stand and while we sing.